You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. It is my great delight to invite back into our studios Megan McQueen, the director of one of the directors of the Scaffolding Theater Company, to talk about a production this weekend, next weekend, and the following weekend, Othello the Remix. And with her, rappers and performers, actors, and now here at KRWG, Julian Alexander and Josh Horton. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
So thank you.
All right. Othello the Remix. This is a production of the Q Brothers. I'm going to want to hear more about them. It's a rap version of Othello. They do a lot of Shakespeare, well,
adaptations, they call them.
Adaptations. I saw that's the newest one. I saw you, Julian Alexander, a few years ago in The Bomedy of Errors.
Yes.
So give us an example of Shakespeare in rap.
So I'll set this up real fast, because this one, Othello, that we're doing, has a cast of four people playing all of the characters. Mm-hmm. And instead of being set in the military, it's set in the hierarchy of like a rap crew. So in very early in the story, they establish that Othello is like the sick MC, like he's the dude, right, of the rap crew. And this is how they do it. We'll get some words from Josh Horton as Othello here.
Okay.
Yo, his rhymes are combined with straight fire like, I got a lot of drama hotter than Madonna in a sauna when she let you do a body shot of vodka off of her. Plus some sicker than guzzling a fifth of gin, puking, waking up and doing it again. You listening?
Ooh.
Trying to be the American dream. So put me in, coach, I could carry the team. Better know y'all, bourbon and a low ball, standing so tall, smother tracks like a snowfall.
Oh, you're cute. Come on now.
Go in.
So that's an example of just how they playfully adapt the idea of Othello being, instead of a having military prowess, rap prowess.
Lyrical prowess, like,
Yeah, and it's funny watching, we watched many different interpretations, and Megan was gracious enough to share her loads of her archive of Othello good stuff. So we watched like the Lawrence Fishburne version, also the Royal Shakespeare Company's Othello, and it was cool to just see how they put the story in the rap scene in a different, fresh new take on it, but it still works and applies today.
It's the same story, same character dynamics, you know what I mean, but now we have like Othello being like a Jay-Z type. I think like that'd be like the best
analogy.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's cool because, like, Othello is talented in whatever he does, and he's also an other. So it's interesting in the through line throughout all the stories, he's always, he's accepted for his talent, but still seen as different.
Well, and the difference between, and the military still functions this way as well, but I feel like the way it functioned in Italy in 1603 is quite different than the way we think of it now. So they shifted it, but essentially it's a story of a person who is an other having difficulty finding a way out of his circumstance. So Othello does that through military exceptionality, whereas here we have a lyric, he chooses to be a lyric writer.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a whole race element.
Absolutely.
In the original Othello.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, it's funny. It's written, a black man's story written for a white man by a white man. So the race issue is interesting.
And that's why, you know, Othello's a really interesting play, especially when you talk to a lot of black actors. And, you know, like there's this, we romanticize this idea of like playing Othello. It's like, but it's like also not, it's not a black show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just the show to play just based in the white supremacy of what theater was, you know what I mean? So like, so coming in automatically, like a black person playing it is Othello, no matter what, thematically. But now by, I'm Iago, you know, so now in the Royal Shakespeare Company right now, you know, they have a black Iago too. And I was talking to Megan about this and shit meets tons of videos, you know, and this idea of, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of debates, you know, concerning the real themes of Othello and whether or not race should be an issue. Yes, race is a theme in Othello, by having a white man, you know, trying to destroy Othello and having, you know, lines like, this is why I hate the Moor, this and that. But, you know, since I'm black as well, it takes away that, you know, that thing. Because you can rely on that. You can say, oh, Othello's just all about race. But now we kill that, you know.
Yeah.
And so what's this show really about? You know, we dive into the deeper themes and the themes that matter more, you know, because automatically, you know, we see through those themes. And that's why Othello has lasted so long. If it was just about race, you know, this would be a play that we're not really messing with no more.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mean to imply it's just about race.
Oh, yeah.
There's an element. There's an element.
That was
for
the people.
Yeah.
That was for the people.
Yeah. Okay. Four people. That's it. That's on that. Mm-hmm. That are on the stage. Tell us a little bit about Megan, you're the director, what they're doing, what's happening, choreography, etc.
So I originally saw this production in 2013 in Chicago with the guys who wrote it in the cast. So it's interesting, we were talking about, you were just mentioning that Shakespeare was a white dude writing about a white actor playing a black man, right? So a tricky circumstance. Now that's not the case. The guys who wrote this are not white, and the performer who played Othello in Chicago was black as well. They tell the entire story in their own interpretation, but also in the context of living in Chicago, where race is like a huge issue, and in the context of 2013, where they're also thinking about what it is to be a woman and how Othello is reflective of on themes with gender as well. So it's, yeah, four people playing all of the characters. The character, so for example, Josh and Julian both play their principal characters, Othello and Iago, respectively. But then they also play backup crew members to all of the different numbers that happen throughout the show. Iago, Julian's track also doubles as Brabantio, the racist father of Desdemona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Juan Apodaca plays Rodrigo and Bianca. And Mark Katanga plays Cassio and Amelia. And it's interesting, what I've really loved about working with these guys, they've been really interested in telling that story authentically too, like really delving into the female perspective. So even though there's in the moment that they're all women, it's silly and very funny. It's also not funny to me at all. Like the day that we staged that scene, I broke down crying like too many times to count. Just thinking about like how we treat people as others and really what the heart of this is about more, I think, that they've actually brought out for me in a more compelling way than the Shakespeare was originally able to do, just because of distance, I guess. But I wrote in our program that, you know, the themes are as relevant as ever, sadly, and in an era of movements like Black Lives Matter, Time's Up, Me Too, Othello challenges us to consider who we value and who we oppress, who we envy, who we sabotage, and why. And so it's cool because we're doing this with a cast of four people of men of color, but with a female DJ, Latina, and a female director to kind of like bring in all of those perspectives.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you want to say something, Josh?
Megan was really clear about the intention of like A Man's World and not being like caricature of women or you know, being cross-dressing men and making fun of it. But it's like, no, you are women who are pissed off in this repressive man's world and not being able to being heard or get what you want. So she's really clear about that, and also about asking like why and bringing our own struggles or any time that we felt as a other to kind of bring that to the script and why we want to tell this story.
Yeah. You know, in Shakespeare's time, there were no women actors on stage. It was always men playing the even in the tragedies. And well, this is a tragedy. Mm-hmm. So that. Assuming totally different identities is like another level to the assuming of an identity just mm-hmm. as an actor in general, because mm-hmm. you take on a role, right. But now you're taking on a person taking on that role, right. Of a different gender. Yeah.
You know, one thing with this one too, you know, there's a lot of absurdity like in this show, and even the idea that like, you know, we're coming out here playing women as well, you know, sure, the audience is going to laugh, you know, they think it's funny, you know, because we just switch up. But, you know, you take away like the punchline of it, and you know, you really listen to what we're saying. It's like comedy, you know what I mean? Most minority comedians, you know, in any sense, that you know, most of their jokes have to do with like the struggles going on in their community and like real tough stuff. You take away the punchline and it's not a joke. Yeah. But you know, the punchline is, and you know, it's kind of like this idea that we laugh to keep from crying, mm-hmm. right? And you know, and that's what's interesting about it. So like superficially, yeah, this show is hilarious at some points, but then what's weird about it is like it's the underlying like tragedy, like,
yeah.
It's wild. It's like, whoa.
It also flips on a dime, too.
Yeah.
It's like a roller coaster of funny, then the tragedy even comes harder because we made you laugh this whole time, and then when it flips.
Like, this could, 0 to 100, this got real.
Yeah.
Real quick.
How long did it take you guys to, like, when did you start rehearsing, learning your lines?
So, I've been working on this script for I've been actively working on it for over a year, but not knowing that I was going to be doing it right now. But I like typed every single word of the entire thing to teach it in my class before the script was available, just from a soundtrack that I bought when I saw it. And so that helped because I didn't have a lot of time right before we started to work on it, but I knew what was going on because of that time. The guys didn't have very long. We actually, so Josh is in grad school at UNLV. And so when he got here, it was like 2.5 weeks before we opened. Yeah. So we didn't work. We worked for, I think we had 12 or 13 rehearsals. 12, I think.
Yeah, it was cool. This was the most intensive like rehearsal process I've ever had, you know, in terms of like a theater experience. Yeah, so like 2.5 weeks, really, maybe, kind of.
How do you memorize these words? Well,
they're young. But also, it's only an 80 minute show.
Minutes, yeah.
And rap, for me anyway, rap is not that hard to memorize because it's both, it has an element of melody to it too, but it's also so rhythmic and it rhymes.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's logical.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's just well written. It's a good story.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think, with hip hop, I mean, once you understand like the science of rap and the science of hip hop, you know, like we get it and like we're just counting bars, you know, and it's like most of the time, like there's a structure to hip hop that they follow. And which made it much easier to memorize. And you know, like, oh, this song, you know, he gets 4 bars, I get 4. So it's like, just with that, you know, you're in rehearsal, it's like, oh, this is me. Like, I'm going to come in, I know what I'm saying. And then, like, the more you work at it, and then after you get that, then it's about making it conversational.
Yeah.
Right. After that. So you get the bars, you get the lyrics, and then you need to make it sound like we can have a conversation over these bars. And that's something that I obsess over, like, in a lot of my work anyway.
Right. Well, it's also like Shakespeare, as in, they're telling you exactly what to put the emphasis on. It's like de-dum, 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 de-dum.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like hitting keywords. So I feel like when you're rapping with the intention, it's easy to
they give you the tools.
Like they give you the tools to get it down. Yeah.
Josh, you're a theater student at UNLV.
Yes.
Julian, you just finished a master's at Leeds University in England.
Yes.
Did you guys do straight up Shakespeare in either of your theater experiences?
Yeah, actually the first plays I ever did were in sixth grade. Did Hamlet and Macbeth, and from there I was like, this is what I want to do. And then I did Twelfth Night at my time here at NMSU, and then we did Macbeth at UNLV, and we did Bomedy together.
Yeah,
right.
It was the first rap adaptation, rap musical, I like to call it.
That was our first time even like really working with each other and like hanging out with each other. Like ever since then we've been homies.
One more little section, little segment of a rap, maybe the two of you. An interactive section?
A little back and forth?
Yeah. Still a little
All right. So maybe, you know, Iago's mad now, you know what I mean? Iago's been plotting. So Iago's mad because Othello's not putting him on. You know, he let this dude named Cassio come through. Cassio's lame.
Like
he says, Will Smith, dude, he's not a real rapper.
Yeah.
Iago's a real rapper,
right.
You know what I mean?
He's underground, though, man. He's opening for the opener, man.
But
he's
for
upset.
Some reason, Othello decided to put Cassio on before I get an album, you know what
so
I mean?
He's going to plant the seed of doubt.
So I say, hey, Othello, did Desdemona know Cassio before you guys met?
Yeah, they went to school together.
Oh.
What you mean, oh?
Oh, nothing, bro. I was just curious, really.
Just curious? Come on, what's the dilly?
I just didn't know that he already knew her.
Yeah, he was the one who introduced me to her.
He did?
He did. Yes, he did. What's the matter? Why you always got beef with that kid?
Nah, I know the kid's having the awesomest time, so sometimes I think he kind of crosses the line. He started getting fresh. He was laying down his charm.
That's just Cass, man. He don't mean no harm.
And you kept your cool? I was like, oh my gosh. He just offered to give your wife a foot massage? Othello, a foot massage?
Iago. It was a joke.
If you said it was, then it was. I hope.
Yo, there you go again. Dog, just drop it. I fully trust my friends, all right? Next topic.
All right, bet. But I'll say this just once. She's known him a long time. And you what? A few months?
Yo, I know you think he's soft, but he's still our boy. And I appreciate the concern, but you're being paranoid. Dog, lay off the greenery. Chill. Enjoy the scenery. Be happy for me. You know how much Desdemona means to me.
I am happy for you, bruh. Congrats. I'm just looking out for you.
Yo, I appreciate that.
Bravo. That was great.
That was like a more like dramatic one. That's not as funny as
you
know what I mean?
You felt it all in there, like just like you were saying, the seriousness. There's a kind of humor only because it's not what we're expecting when we're going to go see Othello. And the drama is building.
What's funny is when you compare it to like the real Shakespearean text, right? It's like it's nearly like thematically it's verbatim, hands down.
Yeah.
It's
wild. Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in. Julian Alexander, Josh Horton, Megan McQueen, Othello the Remix this weekend and the next 2 weekends of June. Good luck to you all.
Thank you.